And we've been doing a series on the authority of the believer. By going a step deeper today, let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians. That's the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Open your heart and let the Holy Ghost minister to you as the word comes forth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. If you have the scripture, you can put it up. Thank you, Lord. Today we are talking about the authority of the believer, but we are coming from a different perspective. He says, the love of Christ, from 14, constrains us because we judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. 15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live, those who have accepted this life and have become his children, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. So he says that those men that are alive now, that have accepted him as their savior, they have only one goal in life, one purpose in life. They should not live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. What is the essence of life, really? God will show you what is the essence of life. In the book of Exodus chapter 8 verse 1, why did you get saved in the first place? He says, let my people go that they might serve me. That's what he said. He says the governing word, the word he gave to Moses, he said, tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they might serve me. I'm just going to quote the scripture so we don't, because of time. And in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14, it says there that how much more shall the blood of Christ, you can put the scriptures up so people can see, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your consciousness from dead works. Why? To serve the living God. So the essence of it all is to bring us to the place where we can serve the living God. He says that he died for all, that they which live now should now come into a place of service in a certain context. We see that service in a certain context. And you see, with God, there is a reward for this service. And we'll see clearly what this service actually means. So once you got born again, your life has changed. You cease to be in control. You see, people want to experience the salvation of Jesus without making him the Lord of their lives. He says, when you confess him as Lord, acknowledging his lordship in your life, then salvation is automatic. It follows that. So God was just showing me that it is the lordship. It is him being the director. It is him being in control of our lives. So I was like, Lord, what does he mean? He said, show me what you mean. He said, okay, if you go to a restaurant and you are a guest at the restaurant, he said, it's like this. I am the guest at the restaurant and you, my people, are the waiter in life. So like a waiter stands before the guest in a restaurant to take the orders from the guest. So he said, now I come to the restaurant, I, the Lord, you are the waiter. That's what it means to serve. And you stay there and you give your order. He said, okay, I want, he has the menu, and he says, I want rice and chicken. And he gives you the order. You take the order, you give it to the cook. The cook cooks it. He said, there are many people on the earth. People on the earth have different services. The cook has his own service. You are the waiter, you have your own service. But the essence of it is that you are there to serve the customer in that place. So without the customer, your experience ceases. You don't have any business there. Without the Lord, you have no business on the earth. I'm telling you, without the Lord, you have no business on the earth. So the Lord has said, the essence of your life is to serve me. So he said, now you come to the place and he gives you rice and chicken. That's what I want. He gives the waiter carries it in form of service to the cook in the kitchen. That one does his own service, he cooks it, he passes it back to some people, they distribute it, and the waiter takes it back and gives it to the guest. And he stands there waiting for the next order. I want some drinks. He takes it and gives it to the guest. He said, now, if I am the guest and I say I want rice and chicken, and the waiter decides that I want to do my own, I go and bring spaghetti bolognese, and I bring it, I take it to the cook, and the cook cooks spaghetti bolognese and brings it back to the you know, I mean, what's this? Now this is how it is. God gives the Lord Jesus gives the orders for your life as his child. You cannot take your own orders. It's like going for an exam. They set an exam for you. You decide to write your own questions and answer your questions. When you pass the paper, they say, not applicable, they just put NA. So I'm talking about, this is, we're talking about destiny, we're talking about purpose here. So God is the one that decides what your inheritance is. He says the Lord chooses our inheritance for us. So we're talking about how to access this thing. It is, we have to understand that we do not have control or in, as it were, we do not have, we have ownership of our lives, but we do not have, as it were, we have to surrender that ownership to the Lord. When you say the Lord of your life, you take orders from Him. You know, and we'll see He's made it easy for us to take orders from Him, because He will cause you to will and He will cause you to do of His good pleasure. So He's not relying on your might and power to fulfill this purpose and this destiny. So we're talking about destiny here. So He gives the order. You cannot go and create, I mean, when you come, you see, there's a reward for service, because when you give the guest the food and he eats it, he says, I am satisfied. This is what I ordered. Thank you very much. He gives the restaurant the money and he gives you a tip. It's a reward. So if you come to the guest and you say, I don't like this spaghetti. He gets up and walks away. So you have not done, you might have done something, you might have worked and labored. In fact, the cook might have done, put the best dishes, mixed it well. It tastes really nice, but that is not what he asked you for. That is how it is. So when we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be based on what he asked you to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? The price is too high. Nothing on earth can take the place of that price. Nothing on earth. The price is too high. The rewards of eternity are too high to toy with. Don't let anything on earth take that reward. That's what Paul said. Look, see, Agrippa, Paul told Agrippa, see, Agrippa, in spite of everything, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So important. That is the essence of your life. And what is this service? The context of this service, you see it here. It says you were created inside Jesus Christ unto good works. It says, if you go to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, I think it is, unto good works which God had before ordained that you as a person should walk in them. So there were certain works, certain things inside the mind of God. When He formed your spirit, He put certain things inside you and said, go to the earth and express this on the earth. Jesus discovered His own. He says, it is written of me in the volume of the book. This is my essence. That's why when they came to Him, He said, Master, eat it. He said, no, you don't understand this. My will is to do what is written of me in the volume of the book and to finish the work. Nothing, every other thing is secondary to that. John the Baptist came and said, he said, look, there's only one purpose for me. He said, I stayed in the wilderness until the word of God entered into me, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. That was what was written of him in the volume of the book. That was his, the work that was created to do. Paul decided to go the other way. He knew what the heavenly vision was, but he was so emotionally attached to the Jews, so he began to cross bounds. But he knew inside his heart the essence and the reason why I was called was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So there's a reason why every man here has been brought to the earth. It's far more than what I shall eat. It's far more than what I shall drink. It's far more than what I shall put on. It's far more than what I shall drive, what I shall wear, the career I shall have. It's far more than that. There is an assignment, a heavenly calling inside every one of us. and none is inferior to the other. And the yardstick and the place of judgment, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, will be what will be asked. Say, what did you do? What I gave you. And the beauty of it is that, honestly, there's a reward. On the earth, your life flourishes. It's not one that is heavenly bound and it's of no. On the earth, your life flourishes. That's why I told that rich young girl, I say, if you understand this, if you give up anything for me or for the gospel's sake, on the earth, you will have 100-fold of it and to, in the world to come, eternal life. So there's a reward for this service. There's a reward for it. That's why it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. But make sure you make your calling and election sure. You see, we'll go into this very, very practically and see from where you are, God wants to connect you to that inheritance and that purpose, or the good works which were created to work in. And you see, once the purpose of a thing is not known and expressed, abuse of it becomes inevitable. Once you do not know your purpose and work in that purpose, you will be tossed around by men and circumstances. Once you don't know that purpose, things will come and swallow you up. There's a woman that did this every day with Jesus. They said she was diagnosed with a sickness. She said, they gave her some days to live. She said, it's not possible. I saw it in the scriptures. The word that was written of me in the volume of the book says, I'm going to do this program for so number of years. It is not possible you take my life prematurely because I am in the center of what God has said I should do. So we're talking about entering the destiny. We're moving above the level of the fowls of the air, the level of the beasts of the field, where they're looking for bread to eat and food to wear and clothes to wear. It says, after these things, the heathen seek after. But we're talking about seeking first. What does it mean? We're talking today of seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness in practical terms. What does it mean? What does it mean to seek that kingdom? It means to seek that thing that God has designed you for in that particular place you are. And God is so practical. He comes to where you are. He's not far away. He's here where you are. I remember when the guys were in need and they are told all night and taking nothing. I want you to understand how Jesus operates in the space of your life as a person. You see, Jesus Christ is really present with us. And we have to be sensitive to the move of the Spirit, else we miss out on what God is doing. He says, they are told all night and are taking nothing. They had a legitimate need. Peter probably was looking for a means to feed his family. That was his livelihood. His wife probably wasn't working. Maybe she was a housewife, I don't know. His children had to go to school. And this was his livelihood. He had toiled all night and had taken nothing. There was no money to go back to. He probably had to pay his rent. These are legitimate needs. These are legitimate things. And God is interested in those things. And God said that, look, I'm more interested in those things than you yourself that have the need. Because they were watching their lives, that giving up. Jesus says, no, I want to connect with you at that point. He says, but I also have a need. I have a need. People are pressing upon me from left, right, center to hear the word of God. So in your environment, I want you to begin to understand this. Hear this very well. The needs of people in your environment are Jesus Christ nudging you. See, that Jesus Christ himself is in need. That's why he said, look, let me explain this. He says, when he called those guys, he said, come into my kingdom. He says, this is the reason. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. Especially members of the body of Christ. When I was naked, you clothed me. He said, when did we do this to you? He said, when you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. So the needs of the brethren, primarily, or the people around you, is Jesus Christ nudging you to meet those things as a person. That is why Jesus was so angry at the fig tree. He said, I saw the leaves. You were blossoming as a person. You were blossoming as a person, but there was nobody benefiting from that fruit. He said, I came to you to collect fruit and there was nothing. He said, no. Your life is for the benefit of others. He cursed it. That was why he cursed it. He said, I came, there was no fruit. He said, what are you doing here? The essence of the tree is not just to have beautiful leaves to display. is that men, because the kingdom of God, when it is grown in your life, it should bring out branches and you bring out fruit for the fowls of the earth to lodge in, for people to actually go to there and take fruit and eat for their lives. That's how it is. So it says, how does this thing work? Peter had a legitimate need. Jesus says, I have a need. So the people around you that God has placed in your environment, as the Spirit nudges you, when they come around you, when you hear and you have that nudging in your heart, it is Jesus Christ knocking at your door. And you know what? God was saying that you don't have, see, you have a covenant with one another, but the primary relationship you have is with Jesus. See, everything you do it because of Jesus. So, he was saying that when you give, that's why he says when you give, do it in secret. Because when you expect a return from the people you are doing it for, you have lost your, so you have to understand this. This is very, very tricky. You have lost your reward. So, anything you do in word or deed, do it to the glory of God. I'll show you scripture. Everything you do, everything, because Jesus Christ is now the Lord of your life. So when I give you out of your need, when you're in need, and I give you something in my mind, I'm giving it to Jesus Christ. You should change that focus. You say, I brought you up, I paid your school fees, I did it, now you're grown up, you're not responding to me. You didn't do it for him. You have to change your focus. You're not doing it for the child, you're doing it for Jesus Christ. I've given everything up for you. You are my husband. I served you. I did it. You're not doing it for him. You have missed the point. Your master is Jesus Christ. Everything you do is unto the Lord. So forget about the person. Forget about the people. When you are doing it, have in your mind, this is doing it unto the Lord. Because the reward does not come from man. If you live like that, it says, of the Lord you will receive the reward. It's God that gives the reward. Many people seek the prince's favor, but every man's judgment comes from God. Every man's judgment comes from God. It's a promotion does not come from the east or the west. Don't try and scheme yourself in your company. Promotion comes from the Lord. Everything you do, Jesus Christ has now become the Lord, except he's not your Lord. So if you focus a mind shift, just begin to live like that, and you're going to say, Jesus Christ, everything I do, as you are growing up in fellowship with him, is unto you and not unto any man. Let me go to Colossians. Let's see that. Let's see this here. We're entering into the real path of destiny. So we're going to start with this. Colossians, let's go there. He's right where you are, and from where you are, he wants to take you to that place called the inheritance. Someone will say, so do you mean I should not be diligent in my work? No, you're diligent in your work, but that is the foundation. There is something else that your eyes have not seen, and the way you treat the things and the people around you is the seed for you to enter into that thing that God has prepared you for. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We'll see that there. He said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So if you are truly, if you have risen with Christ, if you are now alive unto him, your attention, you should seek those things which are above. That's what Jesus says. He says, seek first the kingdom. After the things in the natural or on the earth, the nations and the heathen are seeking after. But you are not the same. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. Because when you seek those things, God will supply all your earthly needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So when you change your focus to seeking those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. The same thing he's saying, for you are dead and you have a new life which is now hid in Christ in God. He says that life is hid in Christ in God, and inside that life there is an inheritance, and that inheritance will take care of all your activities on the earth. If only you can shift your focus. What the enemy tries to do is try to steal the attention of people by the lust of the flesh, by the lust of the eyes, and trick them to believe that if they do not focus on those things, they won't have those things met. How long have you been focusing on them? Have they come? One after another. It says, change your focus and begin to seek those things above. Now, let me show you what I'm saying here. Let's go to verse of that same chapter. Verse 17. where you are, you can begin to climb. You know that my life is more than what I will eat. My life is more than what I will drink. My life is more than who or what I will wear. My life is more than this earthly realm. It says here, it says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. All in the name of the Lord. I remember there was one guy that had a problem with cigarette smoking. He came to meet Hagin. Hagin said, it's easy. He says, yeah, he's born again Christian. He had a problem, a serious problem. He couldn't break the habit. He said, what you should do? So he takes the cigarette and smoke. He says, I'm doing this in the name of the Lord. As you smoke the cigarette, he said, I give you thanks. He said, by the third day, the thing dropped. The habit was destroyed. Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks. But I give you thanks. For I'm shouting and I'm screaming on my children and my husband. I give you thanks for it. I'm doing it in the... By the time you got to it that day, somebody will be moving there. This is not right. All you do. I'm watching this program in the name of the Lord. I'll stop there. Let me go. It says, now let's read now 18. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So you are doing things, you're not doing it because of the sake of the wife. You're not doing it because of the sake of the husband. You are doing it as unto the Lord. So when you're relating as unto the Lord. I'm loving you, not because of you, but I'm loving you because of, as, or I'm doing that unto the Lord. So I'm loving you in that respect. Say, children, obey your parents in all things, but this is well pleasing unto your parents. No, unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing them. No, fearing the Lord. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. This is the pathway of freedom, and not unto men. I bought this present for you on your birthday. You didn't return the present. You didn't buy him back. I gave you that gift. You didn't even acknowledge me. Let's shift our focus. It's not them. It's unto the Lord. We have to begin to see that our lives, we're not living to ourselves anymore, but to them. We're not expecting the reward from man. In fact, that's what Jesus says, look, to prevent your heart from all these things, hide yourself. Hide your gift. That's what he was trying to address. He said, do your gift in secret, and the reward is not going to come from man, because I want to protect you from the, I want to give you the real reward. So hide yourself from it if you're not able to focus, if you have problems with glory. No, it's practical. If you have problems, that if I give this gift, I'll be expecting to give me back or to greet me. Do it practically. Or send someone, say, take this gift and give it to them. Don't tell them it's from me. When they abuse yourself, it's even better. So you go back to, see, this is how you receive reward. In your closet, you go back to God. Say, a man's gift will make room for him. Not in the sight of man, in the sight of God. You are creating bags for yourself in the heavens that will not wax old. You go back to your closet and you shut the door and you begin to pray in the spirit and releasing words. Father, you reward for me. And he comes out to reward you openly. Tied to all those casual relationships on the outside. Knowing that of the Lord, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You see there? So those things are not casual. Your everyday interaction, you begin to see that in a different light. You go to work, you are seeing patients, I'm seeing them, I'm seeing Jesus Christ. See, these guys have come with a need. Jesus, let me do that. I'm not doing it for anybody's sake. I'm doing it because of the Lord. And I go back to my closet. I say, Father, I thank you for the inheritance. I'm pushing for something. I'm pushing for that inheritance. My affections are set on things above. I'm giving to people. I'm pushing for something. I'm showing people's lives. Secretly, I'm pushing for something. He said, thank you. I said, it's fine. But there's something I'm pushing for, the inheritance, the purpose for which I was created. When those guys gave their vote to Jesus, they didn't know. He multiplied the seed they sowed and took them into destiny. He said, now you shall be fishers of men. From the casual boat, they entered into destiny. From the way they treated their husband, they entered into a place that they didn't expect. He said, now it is not just about catching fish or multiplying the seed you have sown. There is an inheritance. Come and become apostles. You cannot disconnect everything. Everything is connected. Everything about your life is connected. You cannot say I'll treat my stupid boss. It's connected. You cannot separate it. Of the Lord, you receive the reward is the inheritance. The inheritance is the reward for service. For you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to see your life differently. You need to see your life. I am of the Lord. So the way I interact with every single person in my environment, they interact with things in my environment, I am doing it to the Lord. They said, well, how did you see me, Jesus? I said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When did we feed you? When did you do one of these little ones? And it takes you to another level, to the inheritance. Joseph was in prison. God will show me. He said, he opened himself up casually. So why are you guys downcast? He was reading with those guys. He said, why are you guys looking downcast? Okay, you're looking down. I had a dream. Okay, I want to use my vision, my gift to interpret that dream. Interpret the butler's dream, interpret the baker's dream. He tried to use human connection. He says, remember me. He tried to use connection. He said, okay, repay me back. I'm expecting a favor from you. But God blocked him. The guy forgot. Good for him. It's good that they even abuse you when you sow to them. It's good that they cast you out. It's good. That is the perfect seed for the reward from heaven. And suddenly, the Lord says, my time now. Pharaoh had a dream. That was the inheritance. That was the inheritance. Let's understand this casual this life is not casual. Life is a spiritual thing. My friend, he was just busy in his office. Pharmacist. Someone called and said, Petrus, I need this message for my daughter. He said, I'm closed. He just said, I let me go the extra mile. He said, okay, come. As the person walked into the pharmacy, it was Sharia do. I was trying to do a record, and as she walked in, she gave me ideas and insight and his first album. Casual things, the way we treat, the way we interact, as unto the Lord. So when you interact with people, see it in your mind as unto the Lord. Forget about the people. Even if they slap, don't answer. It is the Lord that will give you the reward of the inheritance. The Lord is the one that will give you the reward of the inheritance. So let's begin to understand that. And the thing, the beauty that it's not just about the inheritance, it multiplies the seed you have sown and it opens you up into the inheritance. When he said, when they gave him their boat, he said he multiplied the fish and he said, now from there, let us go into higher calling, which is inheritance. So that's why I said Jesus Christ is connected to where you are now. He's not far away. He's not disjointed. He's connected to where you are now. So you can walk out of this place and begin to practice this as unto the Lord and not unto man. So when you have noticed, no man is your problem anymore. You say, okay, I did it to you. I did it. These children, ungrateful children. I paid your school fees when you're a bit older. I did it. It's not unto them. It's unto the Lord. The Lord will reward you. Don't look to them. Don't look to them for reward. I housed you when you came to UK. I put you in my house. Now you are now making more money. You can't even answer me again. Don't leave them alone. The Lord is the one that will reward you. This is how practical Jesus is. I remember I entered into a place where I didn't like a job in the United Kingdom. As in, I entered into that place. It was just a simple thing. You know, so there's someone in your environment that needs £200. He said, take, I had only £200 in my account there. He said, take all the money and give it to him. As I took it and gave it to him, something broke in my conscience. I said, now, because you have done this, nowhere shall you look for a job again in the United Kingdom. Nowhere. From then on, it was just back, 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 back. There's an inheritance. There's something there. That's what Jesus said. To enter into the kingdom, first of all, sell all that you have. He said, give to the poor, provide bags for yourself that works not a treasure in the heavens. Moth cannot touch it. Nobody could touch it. Because it was some an interaction in the spirit that came. Nobody could touch it. You might go for an interview and they say you're not taking it. It doesn't affect me because something that's taking an exchange that's taking place that saw me, it was the effect was constant because when the kingdom comes of the increase and of the government and of the peace of that kingdom, there is no end. It just keeps on going from one level to another. Emiko said that he was sitting in a meeting and my mother was preaching. See, my mother has been preaching, but nothing. You see, there's a connection. You have to be sensitive to the move of the spirit. It is not just everybody. You know, everybody is in need. It's a move of the spirit. You see, my mother has preached and preached and preached. Nothing. More. See, this day he was preaching, and he said, "There's a seed you need to give." He said, "Something triggered inside his heart." As he planted that seed, his son was in school in the United Kingdom. From that day, the fees were bah, 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 as if no struggle. Till the day the guy finished. As soon as the guy drops his pen, the thing ceased. God is real. He's in the affairs of your life. All he wants to say, look to me as Lord, not any man. Look to me as Lord. Begin to see me as Lord. Begin to do, even when you're cooking food in the kitchen. These people that don't cook, I'm not always cooking, as unto the Lord. Is that practical? No, is that practical? You're begin to see that as unto the Lord. I'm always cleaning this house, cleaning, cleaning, nobody helps me. As unto the Lord. I'm working with trainees at work. And I will go. I told her, I was a trainee. I didn't see the consultant. I saw the patient myself. Because I would sit down in his office. Now, they are sitting down, and I'm seeing the patients. The trainees are sitting down. They will say, go and do this. I said, Lord, what's happening here? He said, as unto the Lord. Of the Lord, one day. That's how one day I'll just walk in there. And an inheritance. That's how it is, casual. David was there, he was the obedient child tending the sheep, being faithful in tending the sheep. When they said they just go, and when he got there, Goliath came, and the Lord orchestrated it as unto the Lord. He never complained. He knew what he was doing. It was unto the Lord, and his destiny broke out. Casual, but powerful. Casual, but powerful. One woman. She was in the house. She was like a relative staying in the house. And very faithful, not complaining, always helping out. When visitors come, the daughter will sit down across her legs, the woman will go and serve. So when the one guy walked in, the kid went and served him. He called that person. This is the top guy. Say, who is that person? I want to marry her. I'll see my wife. I just said, go marry. As unto the Lord. She wasn't looking for it. Those guys were not looking for a multitude of fish. They weren't looking for it. But they gave as unto the Lord. And the Lord is no man better. You see, God was saying that the reason why some people might not see the harvest, the motives might have been wrong. See, if I give my body to be burned and I have not love, it profits me nothing. He says, it is for the sake, Jesus categorically says, he said, if you give up the things for the sake of the gospel or for my sake, you shall have 100-fold. He said, when you do it with the wrong motive, the person can reward you when you miss out on inheritance. The motive is so important. That's why you should hide yourself if you have problems with. You have to know yourself. If you have problems, if I give this person and you know, I'm expecting if he doesn't greet me. So hide yourself so that when he doesn't greet you, he doesn't know I gave it. It doesn't matter. So your life is now as unto the Lord. So when you're speaking, it's as unto. When you're addressing your children, it's as unto the Lord. You're not expecting reward from them. Say, when I grow, you grow up, I'm taking care of you now. You have to, all the money I invested, you will have to return. As unto the Lord. I'm giving an inheritance. I'm investing in my children now because it is, the Lord told me that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children. So I'm doing that because the Lord told me that is what a good man does. So I'm making an investment as unto the Lord. So it changes your life. You become less dependent on man. Your life is not heavily focused on the Lord. Let's understand that. That's the first part of service. He says, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. In that you have ministered to the saints, there's always a reward for that. You know, the boy with two fish and five loaves. If he had just sat down to eat it, and it just ended there. But he gave it to Jesus as unto the Lord, and Jesus multiplied it. The same thing the guys did with the boat. So your life is unto the Lord and not unto men. So it's for the Lord's sake and for the gospel's sake. Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might win them. It is about the Lord. It's too big a price to pay to allow anything to take that thing. You know, it's about when you stand that day, you know, you've gotten your reward in multiplied forms on the earth. But when you stand that day before the Father, I mean, I begin to think more in that sense nowadays. When you stand that day before the Father, he says, oh, well done, that good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. I want my mansion to be beside Paul. I was just thinking about these things. You cannot live a balanced Christian life if you do not think about those things. You can't. You have to be heavenly focused as well. You have to think about those things. That I've fought the good part of faith because I've kept the faith. There's a crown waiting for me in heaven. It doesn't end here. Paul said, if we are men, have hope only in this world, then we're miserable. There's a hope there as well. It doesn't just end here. There's a reward there. Greater reward. I mean, this is just, I was lying on my bed. I said, 50 years, it doesn't look so small. 60 years, it doesn't look so trivial. 365 days times 60. It doesn't look so small. I said, wow. We're talking about eternity here. Wow. Let's begin to think like that. You can't live a balanced Christian life if you don't have that in focus as well. So he that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. That one day we will see the Lord. And what will his predisposition be to us? Say, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy. Let's begin to think like that. So, as unto the Lord, so there are two aspects here that I will talk about. This is the first aspect I'm talking about, how we interact. So when Jesus Christ is first in your environment, Jesus Christ is hungry in your environment. You know, so he will multiply that which you give to him, and he will launch you into his inheritance, and the essence of it all is to serve the Lord. That's the essence of it all. The essence of what you are today is to serve the Lord as you interact with the people around you now. You know, the other part, it says in Hebrew, it says, give all diligence. It says, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, for you've ministered to the saints and do minister. It says, now, there's another part of it. It says, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. It says, don't be slothful in business. The followers of them who through faith and patience have inherited the promise. And how does this inheritance come? And God gives his word, which is the seed of the kingdom, and there's something you have to do with that seed. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll round up here. This is the Christian life in summary. Christian life in summary. You see, I'll say something before I go into this part. I've talked about interaction, but you see, someone asked one of those old timers, say, why is it that we don't see as much results in these times as they did in their time? The woman said that The saints these days think that they can pray 15 minutes and get the job done. So we stayed in prayer with that word until we had an assurance inside us before we left the place of prayer. Prayer is the access that God has given us to manifest the inheritance He has given unto us. And we cannot take it lightly. Depends on what life you want to live, really. Depends on what quality of life you want to live. Depends on how much of God you want to see in actual manifestation in your life. It depends on you. You can take this or you can leave it. But I'm telling you that prayer is the access code to what God wants to do in your life. The more time you spend in prayer and give Him access, the more of His manifest presence you see in your life. That's just the way it is. There is no superhuman being. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers answered with strong cries unto Him that was able to save Him from death, the Son of God, He said, a great while before thee, He will go out and spend time in prayer until He had an assurance of that thing. There's no two ways about it. There's an adversary. It is not on God's part. We fellowship with God in prayer, but it's an adversary. Paul said, I fought beasts in Ephesus. He said, I have fought the good fight, but we're fighting from a place of victory. But there has to be warfare going on. And it depends on you. You are the constant factor. If Daniel hadn't prayed for 21 days, what would have happened? Nothing would have happened. God gave the word. God gave the promise. He saw from books. He understood from the scriptures. He knew all the things that were given to him. But if he hadn't engaged in prayer, fasting, with confessing that word, nothing would have happened. It's not everything that happens on the earth is the will of God. No. Not everything. Not everything. God cannot do anything except then pray. That's the authority we have on the earth. God does not bypass that. So He needs people who are willing to give themselves to intercessory prayer and soul travail to birth the will of God for their lives and the lives of those around them. If not, the infirmities of your flesh, your destiny will be trapped in the infirmities of your flesh. It won't be able to come out and find expression because of the strongholds. You live your life through and you'll be wandering from pillar to post, not finding expression of who you really are. It takes intercessory prayer. I was talking about my last week. He said, you have to stay there and do this thing. Let's go to First Kings 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So it was the word of the Lord that came to Elijah. The word of the Lord, the express word of God, came to Elijah. And Elijah went and showed himself to Ahab, and on the outside there was sore famine. There was, that means the outside was completely contrary to any sign of rain. You see, that picture Hagin said, he said, God was speaking to him, Jesus was speaking to him personally, and this demon came and stood in front and was just distracting. And Jesus just stood there. He said, don't do anything about it. Jesus says, I can't do anything about it. I'm giving you authority to do something about it. That's how it is. I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you all things. But you have to engage from the place of victory to see the manifestation. I'm talking about manifestation of the things that I've given unto you. So, the word came to Elijah, just like you receive a word from God. And this is how my life is. You see the word, you rejoice, you are happy. But it doesn't just stop there. You switch from word of faith into CAC mode. I like this. That's how I'm going to put it. So you switch into CAC mode. You know, those CAC guys, when they start praying, you slow. You switch from word of faith into CAC. You confess. But you switch in the same mode. Say, Oluwa. My God, this, I'm not moving from here until this thing manifests. No, I think about it. I said people like Pastor E. Adeboye, they don't know as many scriptures as you probably, but the manifestations are awesome because he said he locks himself before nobody has done the Holy Ghost night for more than 40 years. 30 years has been going on constantly. It has not been done anywhere. He said he locks himself for 3 days. Nobody sees him from Thursday, Friday, Saturday before the meeting every time. Praising the Spirit for those 3 days. When he comes out, yeah, you see, there's no story. Let me tell you, there's no story. It is, there's a labor that has to be done. So let's go here. 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, go eat and drink, for there's a sound of the abundance of rain. So Elijah repeated the word that God gave him. He confessed it. He said, there's a sound of the abundance of rain. There's a sound. But you're hearing the sound of things. God has said things, and you're hearing the sound of those things in your life. You're hearing the sound of abundance. It's like a sound. It's like a sound that you're hearing, but there's something you have to do to cause that thing to manifest on the earth. And what did Elijah do? You know, this is Old Testament, but James used this as an example of the prayer of faith. In James chapter 5. See, Elijah was a man subject to like passion, but he prayed earnestly. Heartfelt prayer, where the thing is touching you. Heartfelt prayer. You put your heart and you lock yourself. Listen, it always comes to pass. Because he's faithful that promise. You can never be left stranded. You can never be left stranded. Once the word has come, you have seen it, but you can never be left stranded. And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. You know, I went to search this thing. It says, there was not. This posture of laying to the ground and bending the feet to the ground, it refers to the common practice of meditation and prayers that they used to do in those times. So he took the word that God gave him. He knelt down there as he was muttering it to himself, intermittently with praying in the spirit or prayer. He was muttering to himself. The same Daniel did say, I made my confession and I was praying in that place. He locked himself there. He stayed there. He sent the servant, go and check. There's nothing. He came back. Go and check. He came, go and check. I'm not leaving this place. Go and check again until there's an assurance in my heart. He stayed there until there was an assurance. The word of God never fails. He stayed there. What was it? It wasn't God's point. You can see from Daniel, he said there were princes, there were things hindering, there were reasonings, there were things in my mind, there were experiences that were being broken down. The Holy Ghost took hold together with me in that place of prayer. So I was going in travail, all the things, all the unbelief, as I was meditating on the word and traveling, all those things, those reasonings, those things that said it's impossible, the situation outside, everything was crumbling until the assurance came on the inside of me. And I got up. He said, I can see a hand moving. He said, He said, now, it is time. You know what I saw? You see, God will do far more than what you are believing for. He says, that hand came upon Elijah. He didn't expect that. All he was praying for was rain. If you look at the next verse, the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah and he caused him to outrun the chariots. There was an addition. It wasn't part of the plan. The hand of it came upon Elijah and caused him to accelerate above the people that had gone ahead of him. That was the product of that intercessory prayer. He said, I see a hand like a man's hand. That same hand, the product of intercessory prayer, will last you generations. It will cause you to outrun people. The spirit of mind came upon him and he outran. It is worth it. It is worth it. See, the things that have been pulling you around for years is worth staying in that place of prayer to birth this thing called your inheritance. It's worth it. And it says here in Proverbs, that he that boasted himself of his false gifts is like clouds without water. You make the declaration, you make the confession, you meditate, but you have to lock yourself in that place of prayer until that thing is deposited by the Spirit of God inside, because you cannot change yourself. You can, all those reasonings, all those unbelief, as you lock yourself, the Holy Ghost, that's the work of the Spirit, goes inside. As you're grown, it comes to a point where you can't even speak again. You begin to make loud sounds from your lips, groanings. It's doing something inside you. The walls are crumbling down. The things are happening. Coincidences are taking place on the earth. It's arranging things until that thing breaks. That's it. It's not, there's nothing special. There's nothing mysterious. It is people that will stay here that will have impact in their generation. As we read in the book yesterday, let me read this guy's one of the top businessmen. I sent it. It says here, I'll read it to you. It says there, says his name is Dr. Judson. He was one of the wealthiest men in his time. He said Dr. Judson's success in God's work is attributed to the fact that he gave much time to prayer. He says on this point, arrange your affairs if possible so that thou can leisurely devote 2 or 3 hours every day, not merely to devotional exercises, but to the very act of secret prayer and communion with the Father. Endeavor 7 times a day to withdraw from business and company and lift up your soul to God in private retirement. Begin the day by rising after midnight and devoting some time amid the silence and the darkness of the night to this sacred work. Let the hour of opening dawn find thee at the same work. It's not prayer's work, it's an activity. He said, let the hour of opening dawn find thee at the same work. Let the hours of 9, 12, 3, 6, and 9 at night witness the same. Be resolute in his course. It is his course. Make all practical sacrifices to maintain it. Consider that thy time is short and that business and company must not be allowed to rob thee of thy God. Impossible, you may say, impossible, say we, fanatically directions. Dr. Johnson impressed an empire for Christ and laid the foundations of God's kingdom with imperishable grandeur in the hearts of the people around him. That's how you do it. That's how you move it. Because natural men are successful now. We're talking about exceeding. You say Elijah outran them. The same hand that came down. You say the hand of the Lord came upon him and outran them in prayer. The people that seem to have gone ahead of him in the natural, he outran them. There's an acceleration that took place in the place of prayer. Let's give ourselves, we have watches, we have cells that will help us to push this thing in prayer. Father, we give you thanks. Let's really pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the grace. So it's about the service of God. It's about the destiny of God. It's about the service of God. It's about the service of God. It's about Christ Jesus, for he is now our Lord. Paul said, I have presented you to one Lord as a chaste virgin. Father, we give you thanks. We return to you with all our hearts as our Lord. Not our careers, not the works of our hands, not our relationships, but you only, our Lord. And we serve in all these areas in the context of you as our Lord. We give you thanks and we give you praise. We give you thanks and we give you praise. It exceeds all our needs. We know our needs will be supplied. There is something else, the inheritance you've given us birth to accomplish in this end time. We give you thanks. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise for the spirit of grace and supplication upon every single person here. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for fresh beginnings. That, Father, as we go back to our closet, as we go back to practice this word, we thank you, Father God, you begin to show people signs and glimpses into eternity and glimpses into the future and glimpses into the inheritance you placed inside them. And Father, they will know that truly you are Lord and you have risen from the dead, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We give you praise and we give you thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.